Precious and Holy Father, we bow our hearts before you, Lord, asking you to enable us to know and understand, O God, your plans for our lives, your plans for the human race, Lord. And because we are members of the human race, there are many things that we can pursue and ask for and receive answers for, Father, because we are your children. Because, Lord, you have given us, O God, an authority to pray. You have given us spheres of influence, O God, to establish in the name of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. You have given us the capacity, O God, to function by the Spirit in the name of Jesus. You have given us, O God, authority in the name that is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we see Jesus as Lord and Master in our hearts, as we come to realize his Lordship within the tabernacles of our being, Father, we know, Lord, there is much that we can exercise in our citizenship, O God, of the kingdom of God. So, Father, we are your instruments in this world of darkness. Nothing is impossible to us because nothing is impossible to you, Father. And all things, O God, that we bring before you, that are right and true before you, that are of your word, you will bring to fruition, Father, because it is your purpose to perform your word. It is your purpose to perform what we pray in the word, O God. So, Father, teach us to pray. Teach us, O God, to battle, O God, the father of lies. Teach us, O God, to uproot every falsehood that stands against the knowledge of you, Father. And teach us, O God, to speak that forth over our nation. Speak that forth over our spheres of influence. Speak that forth over our families. Speak that forth over our generations. Declaring, O God, that we take possession of the land, Father. Because, Lord, we have been given, O God, that place by you, O Lord. Your word speaks that we are a people of promise. Your word speaks that we are to go forth courageously and possess the land, Father. Lord, that wherever our feet should trod on, O God, that is the place in which, O God, we will truly see the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ manifest, Lord. So, Father, teach us what it means, O God, to fight a battle in spiritual warfare, Lord. So today as we speak of spiritual warfare, we pray that you will teach us how to conduct this warfare, O God, in the cross of Jesus Christ, because the battle, O God, is fought in the victory of the Lamb. We thank you and we bless you. That as you teach us, we pray that what you release into us will be a revelation that flows from your heart into us by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. For Jesus alone is the truth to us, Lord. Jesus alone is able to bring into us the way. And Jesus alone, O God, is the life that we can express, Father. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, bless us and enable us, O God, to be a blessing as we learn how to pray the right way. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's subject is spiritual warfare. And we want to talk about how we can participate in spiritual warfare. Some of us on a high plane, some of us on a lower plane, but all of us on a growing plane. Amen? Praise the Lord. So wherever you are, there are things that you can declare in God. So what is spiritual warfare and where does it come from and what is its form? 2 Corinthians chapter 10 from verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 from verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. So as Christians, we war. What do we war against? Verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. For pulling down strongholds. The language in the New American Standard is much more powerful. I just want to read it from there. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 10. Verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. That's what the New American Standard says. Not just pulling down strongholds, but for the destruction of fortresses. I like that idea of destroying the fortresses of the enemy. Because even as Satan is proclaimed to be a destroyer, we too would like to destroy what he stands for. Is that scriptural? Keep your finger on 2 Corinthians. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. The second half of that verse. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil. that he might destroy the works of the devil. And so we are called to destroy the works of the devil. The works of the devil manifest from fortresses that exist in spheres of influence over the human race. And we are called to pull down those strongholds, destroy those strongholds. Verse 5. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And this is what spiritual warfare is about. Destroying that which stands against the knowledge of God. We are destroying speculations. Right? The King James says, casting down arguments and every high thing. I like that word, destroy. I like that word, destroy. Because falsehood must be destroyed. There's no place for falsehood, because a little leaven leavens the whole dough. And therefore, right, I believe strongly that we should destroy that which stands against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Jesus Christ is King. We know that, we believe that, we stand for what Jesus Christ represents as Lord and Master. He is Lord and Master in our hearts. He is Lord, He is King of kings and Lord of lords. As Jesus Christ proclaimed, all authority and all power in heaven and on earth is His. It has been given to Him. And that reality of Him is alive within us in a living witness. And we have taught that, right? 1 John 5:10 says that he who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ has the witness in himself. 1 John chapter 5 verse 7 says that there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. 1 John chapter 5 verse 8 says that there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, water, and blood. That's the witness of the cross. And that witness of Spirit, water, and blood is the witness that God has opened in us. So those of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, those of us who are born again have this witness in blood, water, and Spirit inside of us. And it is through this witness that we battle and destroy every speculation that stands against the knowledge of God. Every high thought that stands against the knowledge of God. As we live in a world, we see that the world objectively, the world system objectively declares that God is irrelevant. In all of our knowledge forms, we declare that God is irrelevant. That is a lie. That is blatant falsehood, which is why our knowledge forms in the end don't make sense. Because if you remove God, there is no longer right and there is no longer an answer to anything. We get lost in our own mediocrity. We get lost in our own convoluted thought processes. And so many fields of study that we have generated when it comes to the philosophical underpinnings of mathematics or philosophy, the human race is a confused race. It does not know whether it's going or it's coming. Let me explain that. In the Western world, if you are living in the Western world, they will tell you that if you cane your children, you can be punished under the law. In that same Western world, they will say that if you destroy a fetus that is 4 months old in the womb of a woman, that's all right. So you see this absurdity that you can destroy a fetus without even considering that that fetus is going to be a living being. But you can't cane a child. What's the logic behind that? What is this evil that dresses up as freedom of choice, that doesn't know what is right, and it calls the right thing, the wrong thing, right? So the power that stands over the world around us is the power of a lie, or the power of a half-truth. It has also destroyed very much of what is good in the Christian church as well. Half-truths. Half-truths. Proclamations by the flesh that leave out God. Proclamations that put man in charge of the church rather than God in charge of the church. That is a lie. That is not what the church is designed for. The church is meant to be ruled by Jesus Christ. The church is meant to be ruled by the intentions of the heart of God. The church is meant to be, as the Bible says, the fullness of Jesus Christ. And so you see that the lie permeates so much that is around us. The lie affects all of us. One reason why we learn from the Word of God is so that we will know the truth and we will be able to proclaim the truth, especially in prayer. And every time we proclaim the truth, we are going to be in warfare. Every time we proclaim the truth, we are going to be in conflict with a power that is a lie. A power that is of the evil one. The power that is demonstrated as a lie, the father of lies. He is a liar. He has always been a liar. And every spirituality that was developed in him became a lie. So man thinks he's very intelligent when he says that we came out of being monkeys. And he thinks it's some great finding that he has discovered. He rejects the idea of being created and being subject to a God. Yet the world testifies even to a donkey that everything has design. Your eye is brilliantly engineered, phenomenally engineered. Only an ass will say that that eye came about by chance. Only an ass would say that. It must be a monkey that says that. So we need to understand and know that we fight a lie. That one of the fundamental things that we do in prayer, in spiritual warfare, is to battle the lie. And our job is to destroy that lie. And we must know and understand that it is written in the Word of God that that lie will be destroyed. And therefore, we have to pursue the truth. We have to manifest the truth. And that truth has to come forth from our hearts. So we are called to battle falsehood. We are called to battle falsehood. And it's so important that we do that. It's so important that we do that. All right? So we have to battle it over our own lives. We have to battle it over the lives of our families. We have to battle it over the Church of Jesus Christ. We have to battle it continuously. Because the lie began with just eating an apple, isn't it? Not exactly a profound thing. But from eating an apple, look at what it's manifested throughout the world. Let's turn to John chapter 8. Jesus Christ addressing the Pharisees, verse 41. John chapter 8, verse 41. You are doing the deeds of your father. They said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and have come from God. For I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. Jesus Christ identifies a fundamental problem in the world that we live in. For which we must do battle for. People can't hear the word of God. And it is the purpose of the church to enable them to hear. So when you pray for people, it is to enable them to hear. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father the devil. And you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When the devil quotes you a fact, he quotes you the fact with the intent of deceiving you. The spirit behind the fact is always the spirit of falsehood, the spirit of the lie. The intent is to deceive. So in all of the philosophies of human education, we find that although there are many facts that we can discern and understand, when we put it all together, the philosophy that unites all these things is a lie. It is intended to deceive. It is intended to mislead. It is intended to manifest rebellion against God. That's the intent. So we can sit down and objectively do things in a lab, but when we put together the findings and we put together the knowledge forms, the philosophical underpinnings of that knowledge form, reject God. Stand against God. We come out with processes that stand contradictory to the word of God, to the will of God. And there is a price that we pay. And that price is death and destruction. That price is confusion. That price is the simple fact that we don't have peace in us and amongst us. We can have wealth, we can have position, we can have fame, but somehow or other, the peace of God is missing, the fulfillment is missing. It is amazing how man spends his whole life pursuing things that don't stand the test of time. And every guy who pursues this knows it. And yet we will spend our whole life, spend everything that we have, pursuing something that is just not going to stand the test of time. Why do you think that happens? Because we choose to reject God. And the moment you choose to reject God, everything that is abiding does not exist for you. And so when you pray for someone, you need to understand that the abiding, the understanding of eternity, the understanding of continuity, the understanding of the abiding has to come out of the heart of God. Otherwise, a man cannot see it. He will just go about his life thinking that because he's having a good job and he's being promoted every 2 years, he's doing well in life. Because his bank account continues to increase, that he's a success story. That is completely flawed thinking, and it's a total and comprehensive lie. Because if you are so successful, why are you dying? If you are so successful, why is it that you can drop dead at any time? If you really are so smart and so intelligent, why is it that you've got no control and no say absolutely over your life? So there is a battle that we have to fight, and it's a real battle. Life comes through the Word of God. The truth will set people free, Jesus Christ said. So if we don't manifest the truth, people will not be set free. So the fundamental problem to hearing the truth is that people can't hear the truth. And this is what we must understand. That's what we have to appreciate. When you pray for someone, you cannot just pray for someone by looking at his sin and counting his sins and what he does not do and what he is doing. You've got to understand that there is a reason behind it. You're talking about a man who drinks himself silly. There is something that causes him to drink himself silly. No intelligent person will do that. No person in his right mind will just waste his time sitting down there and counting whiskey bottles. No intelligent person will spend 18 hours in the office working and working and working. What are you working for? So you need to understand that there is a force over the minds of the human race. That force comes from the father of lies. And so we have to battle to manifest the truth that will set people free. That truth is that we have to learn how to pray God's word and not pray our emotions. We have to pray God's word in the grace of God. If you pray God's word according to the law, then by law that person should die. Hello. If you pray the law over somebody's life, or you speak the law into somebody's life, by law that person stands condemned. By law, the sentence is death. So how do you and I know that we are alive today? How do you and I know that we are recipients of the love of God by grace? We know that we are alive to God by grace. Grace upon grace. So you need to understand the Word of God in the grace of God. You need to understand the Word of God in the finished work of the cross. You need to understand the Word of God and pray the Word of God in the love of God that you have realized in your own life. If you pray the law, everyone will die. Even God's chosen nation was brought under the rod of judgment. And so much was destroyed. Although God continues to persevere with a remnant. And we need to understand this very clearly. So learning how to pray is so crucial to the breakthroughs that are needed. God is coming to man by grace through the cross, not by law anymore. Yet so many Christians pray the law. So many Christians look at something by law. The reason why we like to look at things by law is so that because by law we can establish our own authority. We can prove that we are something in ourselves. By grace we have got nothing to boast about. By grace only God is supreme. We don't like that. We like to have something that says, I am in charge. We would like to make other people in our own image. Now, all these are blatant falsehoods that we've got to discard. And we have to learn that only God saves. Our job in prayer is to let God be God. Our understanding of this Word of God is to know that this Word of God is God's seed of faith. His faith for a new creation. His faith for a new tomorrow. His faith for a new human race. His faith so that there will be a tomorrow for the human race. And we are called to understand it, realize it, and pray that over this world that we live in. We are to declare it through everything that we do in thought, word, and in deed. That is our purpose. Why would you want to live something that is a lie? Why would you want to live something that is going to bring death and destruction? So we pray. We pray. We pray because there are thought forms that need to be destroyed. Over a nation, over a city, over an area, over the church, over your family, over your own life. And you've got to recognize it as you learn and understand God's word, and you have to fight it, knowing that the victory has already been purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is crucial. So we pray in the victory of the Lamb. We pray in the witness that God has opened inside of us by the Holy Spirit through the seed of Christ. You are born again. You can pray in this witness inside of you. But so often we choose to do things by the flesh. We choose to objectively do things by the flesh. We choose to express our anger and our vindictiveness through the flesh, without responding to the grace that we have realized for free. We practice one thing before God for ourselves and for our own children, and we practice another thing for another man's children and another man's family, or for another person of another race. All this are shackles of falsehood that we have to destroy. If we don't destroy them, people will die. People die because the church does not do anything so often. People die because people attend church and just occupy the pew, hear a sermon and go back home and come back next week. In between, they attend the Bible study so that they can learn about the Bible. Why? I don't know. Because if you ain't going to use it, what do you want to learn from it? So prayer is serious ministry. And the moment you learn how to pray, you are in ministry. And ministry is serving, right? The Greek word for ministry also means servanthood. So we are called to be kings, but we are called to be servant kings. So you and I have to learn how to pray the truth, not to pray our prejudices or our anger towards somebody else. And so we must understand that we pray in a victory that God has already given us through Jesus Christ. And the seed of that victory has been planted in our hearts, which is why every one of us is here. And that victory is more powerful than any force of power that lives anywhere in the universe. Because it is the victory over death. Because it is the assurance of eternal life. Because what we have inside of us is the seed that will open every promise that God has for us in all eternity. That's powerful. It's all contained in a single seed, the seed of Christ. When that seed grows, it becomes a tree of life. When it's released, it goes out of us as rivers of living water. And wherever the river goes in the book of Ezekiel, it is said there will be life. And that's powerful, guys. And we have to know and understand that this is what we are called to realize and to express. We are not called to look at the world and see its problems and be immersed in its problems. Because the world's problems cannot be solved by the intelligence of man. The world's problems are only solved by the will of God. The Bible says that one day God will handle all of man's problems. He will bring forth a new world. He will bring forth a new race of man. He will bring forth from amongst us a leadership for the human race. Now we are charged with understanding that and doing what we have to do in the life that we have here on earth. We need to pray. The witness to a new world, the witness to a new universe is alive inside of you and me. Revelation 3:14 calls it the Amen, the true and faithful witness, the witness of Jesus Christ. Revelation 3:14 calls it the beginning of a new creation. The beginning of the creation of God. The Amen, the true and faithful witness, the beginning of the creation of God. That is the witness that God has opened inside of you. That is the witness through which we pray. It is pointless wasting your time praying in the flesh. Nobody is going to be saved, nobody is going to be helped, and you are not going to be blessed. Prayer is important. Prayer has to be understood. Prayer is there so that God can answer what He has given us by promise. If you can pray the right prayer, if you can pray the prayer with the right intents of your heart, it's powerful. Because God will flow to perform that prayer. All right? So that prayer, that witness to prayer is alive in you in blood, water and spirit. What does that mean? Let's turn to Colossians chapter 2. Verse 13. Colossians chapter 2 verse 13. And when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He made you alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. Having cancelled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, and which were hostile to us. And He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. The cross is to you today a witness in blood, water and spirit. The witness of the cross is alive inside of you. It's alive inside of you in blood, water and spirit. It's alive inside of you in resurrection power. It's alive inside of you in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Now look at verse 15. When He had disarmed the rulers and authorities, He made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through Him. All right? So in the cross, in the victory of the cross, the principalities, the powers, the dominions in the high places are already disarmed. Now this is why prayer is so powerful. The fact that we can pray in this witness is so very powerful. Because if you function in this witness, the powers, the principalities, the mights, the dominions, Satan himself is disarmed. The challenge, of course, is to stay in the witness that is consistent with the testimony of Jesus. Like I said, so often we pray that which is not consistent with what Jesus Christ did in His life and His ministry. That's why the church is failing. That's why we keep on praying and praying and praying and nothing keeps happening. Because so often we choose to pray carnally. We choose to pray our judgments over a person's life. Whether on a subconscious or unconscious term, on a subconscious or unconscious plane, we think somebody is a terrible fellow and we pray for him. And in our hearts, in subconscious and unconscious terms, we are condemning that person. How on earth can you bring salvation into a person's life when in your heart you are condemning him at the same time? How can God answer such a prayer? Because Jesus' answer to you and me was to simply declare, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. You know, if he had every reason to turn around and say, these guys are all deserving of death. How often do we say that so-and-so is not worthy to be saved? You see, there is a very powerful principle there. When you say that, you are denying the cross of Jesus Christ. And immediately, everything you do in prayer will never work. I say everything, because a little leaven leavens the whole dough. It's a spiritual principle. When you have anger and hatred and vindictiveness in your heart, when you are hurt, what does hurt represent? The unwillingness to accept God's healing power, isn't it? See, that's why Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. That's why he spends time accusing us. Why? In order to cause pain and hurt within us so that we will become useless. So that we will become ineffective. Right? Because he knows the only people who have the power to actually cripple him and to neutralize him completely is everyone who is a born-again Christian. Because within each born-again Christian, Jesus Christ can actually come alive. Within each born-again Christian, the Holy Spirit can actually bring forth realities that will God the Father will perform in Jesus' name. All of us have that potential. And so the devil's strategy is always to make us focused on our own prejudices, make us focused on our own past, make us go round and round the mulberry bush, chasing our own tails, right? Chasing our own pride, chasing our own self-righteous ways, our unforgiving ways, our judgmental ways, our gossipy ways. And every time we do those things, nothing works. Don't laugh. This is not a laughing matter, because people die when the church does not work. Because if the church of Jesus Christ doesn't function, the human race is dead. When the church of Jesus Christ does not work, the human race dies. Because there's no one else who's going to stand in the gap and pray. No one else that God can give ear to. So it's so important for you and me to pray the right things. To pray the right things, you have got to be willing to accept what God has given you through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Because it is the testimony of Jesus that is the spirit of prophecy. What does that mean? Every reality of fulfillment of what God can do depends on the unveiling of the testimony of Jesus. You want your brother to be set free? You better manifest the testimony of Jesus through your prayer for your brother. You're not going to save your brother because you love your brother. Hello. You're not going to save your brother because you love your brother. If you don't manifest the love of Jesus through your prayer for your brother ain't going to be saved, because there is no other name in which your brother is going to be saved except the name of Jesus. Do you understand, people of God? Jesus Christ is exclusively the way, the truth, and life. Jesus Christ is exclusively the light of the world. Jesus Christ is exclusively the bread of life. Nobody is going to change that. And if the church of Jesus Christ thinks that because of our good intentions and because of our programs we are going to save the world, we do not know what we are thinking. We are caught up in the lie of the evil one. So you can't save the world out of religious zeal. You either manifest the witness of Jesus or you're totally ineffective. See, people can respond to a spirit of religion. That is part of the lie. But the spirit of religion will never manifest salvation. Because salvation speaks out of the blood of Jesus. So it's crucial that you and I function in the witness and testimony of Jesus. When you get bored with Christianity, you're bored with Christianity because you have come to believe the lie. So you can check. What is your response to God? Are you here because you fear that God, if you don't come to church, God is going to punish you? That's the wrong reason to be in church. If you're not here because you enjoy being in church, something has gone wrong. Because you cannot be a Christian by obligation. You can only be a Christian by relationship with the living God. You pray in a relationship with the living God. Spiritual warfare is battled in your relationship with your God. Because you know what He stands for. You know what He has done for you. You know what He wants to do. And so you pray it into being over somebody else's life. It's so crucial that you understand that and do that. That may be your son who is mucking his life away, but all your emotional love for him is not going to save him, brother. You better pray the truth over his life. If he needs correction, you better pray and ask God to correct him, to bring him to his senses. Didn't God bring you to your knees to get to you? So how can we think it's going to be otherwise with somebody else? So often we are not willing to trust God for his judgments. Are the judgments of God necessary? They're absolutely necessary in my life. Because if God doesn't judge me, then how am I going to be changed? If God does not correct me, how on earth am I ever going to learn how to do something the right way? In the same way, if I pray over my children, right? If I do not ask God to correct them and to mold them and to shape them, how on earth are they going to walk in righteousness and holiness of the truth? How on earth are they going to be drawn to the foot of the cross? How on earth are they going to understand that just because they drive a big car and have a big house and have money in the bank doesn't mean a blooming thing? If your heart is empty, you are a comprehensive bankrupt. Doesn't matter how much you have. You have nothing. Because everything that is outside of you is worthless, brother. It is worthless because it will not come with you when you die. It is what is inside of you that is the wealth that you have. So please understand, to effectively pray, you must see through the lie. Can you see through the lie? Are you even willing to see through the lie? It's so crucial that you do so. Because if you don't do so, then the lie will continue. What's the purpose of the lie? To deceive, to undermine, to ultimately destroy. What does the thief come for? He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Spiritual warfare. Fight the lie. Fight the lie. Pray the word of God. Pray the finished work of God. Pray the word of God. Understand the word of God. Understand what God means by the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. Understand that in the nature and character of Jesus Christ, every human being has the potential of becoming a saint. That's the power of God. Don't sit down there and look at what the guy is doing in his life. Look at what he can become. So bring God into his life. Choose to bring God into his life. Not choose to condemn him. It's easy to condemn someone. If God had looked at you and me and counted our sins, we would be dead, brother. So please understand that prayer is serious business. You have to pray for people. You have to pray for people because you have to learn how to give what God has given you. We can't just live for ourselves. See, one of the things that the evil one always tries to spin over us to get us involved and immersed in things that only focus on ourselves. One of the great triumphs of truth is when you can really touch somebody else's life. Then you will begin to see the value of life. Insular thought processes, selfish thought processes are destructive thought processes. They render you useless, they render you unproductive, they render you a fruitless tree. Why do you want to be a fruitless tree? Whoever enjoyed a fruitless tree? So please understand what the Lord is telling you, okay? So watch what you say, watch what you do, pray. Pray the truth that will set people free. Pray in the witness of the cross, because the devil cannot function in that. So what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. The binding in heaven, God does, and God does it in His timing. But we have to bind the things on the earth. What we see affecting people's lives, what we see affecting the spheres of influence of the human race, what is affecting the nation that we live in. You may think you are a nobody, but you are sons of God. So therefore, what you say to God, God will hear. But what you say to God must be what He wants to hear. Because God is not like a man to whom you can go and speak any nonsense. God will only do what He wants to do, because He is God. He is absolutely God. He is always God. God cannot play ball with you as a man can. A man can say, it's all right, we will adjust later. God doesn't work like that. There is no adjusting later. It's either the truth or it's not the truth. So when you talk to God and when you bring an issue before God, you have to bring it out in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So address those issues as God's word speaks to you on them. All right? Let's look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Colossians chapter 1 verse 9. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Why is Paul praying that? Because if we don't pray in an understanding, if we don't pray in a wisdom that is in line with God's will, you're praying nothing. You're praying nothing. You can't tell God to go and do something wrong. You can't tell God to fulfill evil intents in your heart. You can't tell God to go and do your hidden agendas. How on earth is He going to do that? So you need to understand in all spiritual wisdom and understanding what it is that God wants to do in His will. Verse 10. So that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. From the perspective of prayer, when you see prayer answered, you understand how God works. So growing to realize answered prayer is so important, so crucial a part of your growth in the Lord.
You pray for someone, that person gets healed. God is trying to show you something. God is trying to teach you something. You pray for someone 3 years down the line, the person gets saved. God is trying to tell you something. As you see God answer your prayer, and there are so many different forms of prayer, you begin to understand with a conviction and a confidence that God works, that He is real, that He answers prayer. You have got to know that. You can't pray in theory. You have to pray in reality. Here he says, in every good work, what is a work? What you do with your mouth and what you do with your life. Because when you speak, you're doing something. People can get healed from the words you speak. People can find new life from the words you speak. People can be touched by what you do for them. Right? So you want to bear fruit in every good work. And prayer is always what blazes the pathway for those good works to manifest. If you don't pray, so much will not manifest. If you're going to be ministers of the Lord, you have to learn how to pray. Verse 11. Strengthened with all power, right? Because you're increasing in the knowledge of God, you will be strengthened with all power. I'm reading from the New American Standard. Your King James kind of messes that up. Strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father. Why joyously giving thanks to the Father? Because you see the Father's work in your life. You see that witness within you grow. You realize God is doing something. You understand God is doing something. Being strengthened with all power according to the Father's glorious might. That's powerful, guys. That's happening inside of you. That's what God is saying. So prayer is very, very powerful. It can really release that kind of power. Where do you find that kind of power? See, that is the kind of power Satan doesn't want to manifest, because he knows he is totally and completely powerless against that kind of power. That's why he divides churches. That's why he keeps on causing us to pick each other's faults and flaws, because that will keep us occupied forever. So we will start picking each other's flaws and we will stop going into where God wants us to go. So he will bring division in a leadership team so that he will stop that church going after what God wants them to go after. Just keep them busy arguing about who is more right than the other. And the moment we start focusing on who is more right than the other, we will never stop arguing, correct? Only God knows all things. We know in part, we prophesy in part. So verse 12 says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Why does he say the inheritance in the saints? Because for every person who becomes part of the body of Christ, there is a wealth to be realized out of that person's life from the heart of God. If you imagine that we are all morning stars, can you understand the wealth of God to be manifested in each one of our lives? Listen to it. And if you understand that we are all morning stars in the making, can you understand that that wealth that is going to be manifested in each one of our lives cannot be duplicated by someone else? What God has designed in your life in declaring that you are fearfully, wonderfully, and wonderfully made, He can't duplicate in anyone else's life because He has made you uniquely you. Do you understand how important it is to pray? Do you understand how important it is that we have a prayer ministry? Yet a handful of people come when it comes to prayer. If we do not even see the necessity of prayer, where do you think we are going to go as the Church of Jesus Christ? If the devil can con us into believing, I can't pray. You mean to say you can't even say two sentences that are true? If you can say two sentences that are true, God will perform that truth. It is nonsense to say you can't pray. It's like saying, I can't breathe, so I'll stop breathing. What happens if you say that? I can't breathe, so I'll stop breathing. Then you will die, right? Yeah. Would you ever stop breathing because you can't breathe? Hello? So why do you stop praying? Because you can't pray. Don't you need the breath of God to be working inside of you? How do you think the breath of God manifests inside of you except through prayer? Do you always see that when you're watching the TV, the telephone never rings? But the moment you start praying, the telephone always rings? Hello? That's a fact. And the moment we start praying, the telephone rings and we have to answer the telephone because that person is a VIP there. Never mind, Lord, you are not important enough. Let me go and answer this guy. And after answering two calls, we still don't have the simple wisdom to take that telephone off the hook and just leave it. No, we can't. We have to listen to that call because that is someone calling me. It may be a life and death issue. Can you imagine life and death issues depend between you and me? Whew. We must be really important people. Huh? That's what you call deception. Are you victims of that deception? Yes, time and time again. The amazing part is we never realize anything from that deception. We just keep on repeating it. We are praying, we are having communion as a family. The phone rings, and everybody wants to run to that phone. And I keep telling, let that blooming phone ring. But no, they feel very uncomfortable that that poor phone is ringing. Such compassion. So we will break our train of thought in prayer so that we can go and answer some silly call that talks about, can you have lunch with me tomorrow evening? How do you have lunch in the evening? Whatever it is. Okay. Yeah. Right? That was the important call that had to be answered at that time. What if this is an emergency? How many emergency calls have you answered in your life, by the way? Huh? Tell me statistically how many important emergency calls you've handled. But the excuse is always, it's maybe an emergency. Somebody may be dying. And somebody is dying depends on you. Whew. You must be really important. So pray. Verse 13, Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. For he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Key to understand, God delivers us from the domain of darkness. You pray so that God will deliver somebody else from the domain of darkness. See, God must move, not you move. So one of the first things you have to do when you pray for someone is to repent for that person's life. Can you stand in the gap and repent for that person? Because there is no relationship between man and God until man repents. Until man recognizes that he has sinned against God. And the same token, you and I will never grow spiritually until we come to the point that we repent for what is not right in our lives. There can be no spiritual growth without repentance because God cannot work with an unrepentant heart. God cannot bless an unrepentant life. The kingdom of God begins with repentance. So if you read Holy Communion, the first passage of Holy Communion in the book of Matthew deals with repentance. So we need to understand that we need to repent, and in that repentance, we will come to understand that we are opening a doorway for that person to be transferred from the dominion of darkness to the dominion of light. And that transfer from the dominion of darkness to the dominion of light is an act of God. It's an act of God. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Redemption is the power of God. Only God can redeem. Forgiveness, only God can forgive and release a person. So when we pray the heart of God. So spiritual warfare, break the lie. Break the lie that says that being a Christian is not an enjoyable experience. Break the lie that if we draw near to God, we cannot enjoy life. So many Christians believe that. Break the lie that obeying God is going to destroy your joy and your fun times. It's not true. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The Bible says that you can take delight in the fear of the Lord. Delight. Delight means ecstasy. Are you living an ecstatic life? Ecstatic life. Yeah, whatever. That you're having so much fun that it's so wonderful to live in this world? That comes out of the heart of God. Only God can give you that kind of life. Praise the Lord. So pray. Pray and break the yoke of the lie. At the root of every edifice the devil makes or builds, it is a lie that he has sown. The root of every fortress of darkness is a lie. A person believes in a lie, and that lie is the basis on which every absurdity has been built. That freedom is for two guys to get married and raise a family. And people think they can build societies out of that. That's a lie. That's a perversion. That is a sickness of the mind. But there are many experts who will swear that that is what freedom is all about. What is this freedom that allows children to access pornographic sites? What is this freedom that allows human beings to access pornographic sites that corrupt the mind, that destroy, replace love with lust, and think that we are going to build human society out of lust? What is this sickness that thinks that if you show movies of people jumping from bed to another bed, it is a manifestation of romance and love? And all it is just a pandering to flesh and lust. That if you allow that, it will destroy the very fabrics that keep us together as a human society. If we cannot be faithful as man and wife, what are we going to be faithful over? If the human race cannot be faithful in a marriage union, how on earth can we have peace in the world? If a husband cheats on his wife, how on earth is he ever going to be an honest man of integrity in some high office in government or some high office in business? What an absurd idea. A man cheats on his wife, but he loves his children. What rubbish is that? The lie. So behind every reality of darkness, there is a seed of the lie. The devil is a liar. He has always been a liar. His faith belief systems were all based on a lie. And so we have to break the lie. Sometimes it is hard to figure out what is the lie. That's why you pray in tongues, because there are things that you know. There is a lie somewhere there that is holding a person. He believes in a lie. And when a person believes in a lie, that lie continues to grow. It builds a fortress around that person's heart and that mind, person's mind. The root of that fortress is the lie. There may be a demon involved in holding that lie over that person's heart and his mind and his life. You have to identify the lie and break the lie. You have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray by the Spirit. Don't worry that you don't understand it, but pray by the Spirit. Fast and ask God to bring the breakthrough, because the breakthrough comes from the hand of God. Don't give up. Keep on doing that. Keep on presenting that person before God's throne of grace. You don't have to be a great prophet to see deliverance. You just have to be persistent in prayer, in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Pray the love of God and you will see breakthroughs, because God will always answer love, because God is love. People need love. People need love. So as we break bread, should we just pray first? Father, we bless you and thank you, Lord, for telling us in no uncertain terms, O God, that we need to pray the truth into being. Jesus Christ said, I am the truth. The witness to the truth that is in Jesus Christ is alive in us by the Holy Spirit in a living witness of blood, water, and spirit. And we can pray the truth, and the truth will set the captives free. The truth will destroy the roots of darkness, because the truth will destroy the root of falsehood. And so, Father God, enable us to understand, O God, that if we pray for that falsehood to be broken, for that false belief system to be torn down, if we pray for the lofty speculations that have been built out of false beliefs and false reasoning, Father, Father God, we can destroy that stronghold, Father. So let there be light, Lord, as we pray. Enable us to understand that as we pray, we can manifest light, the light that will destroy darkness. Enable us to understand that the darkness can never overcome the light. That light, the light stands because you are light. And so, Father God, we can declare light into a person's darkness. And we can manifest that light in such powerful terms, O God, that no force of darkness can shift that light, Lord. That kind of power and that kind of authority has been given to us in the name of Jesus. Because Jesus Christ is the light. And Jesus Christ is our Lord. And when we speak what is revealed to us in Jesus' name, when we speak by the Holy Spirit, we speak truth, O God, that will destroy the yokes of darkness, that will destroy the fortresses of darkness, O God, that will destroy the perversions that hold the minds of men in a confused state, Lord, in a lustful state, in an angry state, in a bitter state, in a hurt state. So, Lord, let us pray the truth. For the truth will set the captives free. Jesus did not say it may set the captives free. He said it will set the captives free. And that's the power of truth. And all of us have the capacity to manifest truth in prayer. Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Because the word given to us in the testimony of Jesus will always be the truth. So enable us, O God, to manifest that, Lord. Enable us to have compassion on the fallen. And not take account of the hurts that we have had, or the wrong accusations that have been made against us. Those are small things, Lord. Enable us to see the cross and understand the power of the cross, the willingness to forgive, the willingness to see a new tomorrow, the willingness, O God, to see the abundance of God come forth, Lord. We are charged to bring that forth in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we brings a person from out of darkness into God's marvelous light. Prayer is a Passover. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Takes us out of the kingdom of darkness and transfers us into the kingdom of light. Just a simple prayer. How many words? Because the intents of his heart were like that. So you don't have to pray long prayers. You just have to pray the right prayer. Prayer is not a theological treatise, guys. Prayer is just simply stating the bare facts. So So Jesus, seated with his apostles, declares that the prayer, right, that he is making, he's saying, and he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is within you. You can introduce the kingdom of God to anybody that you love, anybody you want to, in the name of Jesus, by the Holy Spirit. You have that capacity. And there is no force in the universe that can stop you. Because you are a citizen of the kingdom. Exercise your citizenship. You have a right to call upon the name of God. It's a right that God has given you. You have a right to claim what Jesus Christ has won for you on the cross, because he died for you. You have a rightful claim in the merits of the Lamb to ask God the Father for something. And if it is what Jesus has done, if it is in line with what Jesus has accomplished, it will be manifested. That's powerful. And when God manifests something, it is a Passover. It will bring something supernatural into somebody's life. It will break the darkness, transfer that person from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. That's powerful. And why will this come forth? Because Jesus suffered for it. So when we pray because Jesus suffered so that we can be able to stand and pray for somebody. Jesus suffered in order to give us the capacity to pray. And so often we want to pray without any hardship. We want to pray in comfort. We want to pray without making the sacrifice of our time. That's sad, isn't it? So as we celebrate Holy Communion, we need to understand, we need to be a praying church, because one of the ways in which we remember Jesus Christ is by praying for others. Because he has prayed for us. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, he ever lives to intercede for us. The Bible says that he is the apostle and high priest of our confession. So when do you confess more than when you pray? So pray. Pray. Pray objectively for people. It's pointless saying I love you when you don't pray for that person, because it means nothing. Your I love you is absolute demi-rotten nonsense. Verse 17, when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. Share that cup. Share that cup through prayer. Share the cup through prayer, because the cup is a witness in blood, water, and spirit. Share that cup by praying. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to some, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. You are a member of the body of Christ. You pray for the well-being of the body of Christ, because we are members one of another. It's so important that we pray for the body of Christ, because we are members one of another. So there are people sitting here who need prayer. You know it. Are you willing to do it? If you do it, you're remembering Jesus Christ. If you don't do it, you're betraying him. You're denying him. We all can't pray for everybody. But there are some people that God has given us a burden to pray for. Pray. In the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. When you pray in the blood of the Lamb, you are praying in a covenant that is an oath that God has sworn in the blood of Jesus. If you and I can pray in that reality, you know how powerful the Church of Jesus Christ is. But fundamentally, for that covenant to work, you must forgive. Because you have been forgiven. So many of us can't pray in the covenants of God simply because we are angry with somebody else. Because we think we have been so hurt by somebody else. We can't pray for this nation because so many of us feel prejudiced in this nation. And we are angry in our hearts. So if you hate the nation that you live in because of the prejudices that you have experienced, how are you going to pray for the well-being of this nation? You understand what I'm saying? How is this nation going to be a better place for our children if you and I don't pray for it? Because the capacity to see change in this nation comes from a praying church. The people who have the capacity to bless this nation is the Church of Jesus Christ. So we can't count wrongs and we can't count injustices, we can't count prejudices, because if we keep looking at those things, the father of lies will step in. And he will come in like a flood. When you start discussing the politics of this nation, can you see how dark your heart gets so quickly? Have you noticed that? And how your face changes, and how the conversation, the tone of the conversation, keeps on growing from anger to anger to anger to anger. Where do you think that anger is going to end up? It will end up with all of us killing each other. That is not the answer. So we have to pray. We have to pray for good things to manifest in this nation. For good things to manifest in this nation, we have to bless the majority race of this nation. It is absolutely necessary. There are no ifs and buts about it. If you want to see your children blessed in this nation, then you have to bless the majority race of this nation, the race that rules this nation. Pray that they will desire justice in their hearts. Pray that they will rise above racial prejudice. If we keep on picking up darkness, all there will be is more darkness. So this Passover is about getting out of the darkness into the marvelous light of God. To understand that according to the word of God, this nation belongs to God, that he is in charge. He appoints leaders and he demolishes leaders. That ultimately the destiny of this nation is not based on the politics of this nation, it is entirely based on the will of God. If God decides to judge this nation, then there will be bad leaders in this nation. If God decides to bless this nation, then we will see good leaders in this nation. And if we pray for good leadership, God can already start that process into the future. Because the leaders of tomorrow are children today. And you and I have got to think like that. Praise the Lord. It's the Passover. Powerful thought that the power of this Passover is in a praying church. That we can communicate the power of this Passover simply through prayer. I hope you understand this. Huh? I'm serious about this. Yes, I too get angry sometimes. Because sometimes the discrimination is so blatant. But you have to get out of it. You have to find the love of Jesus. You have to understand why he said, Father, forgive them. For they do not know what they are doing. You see, you cannot bless yourself by stealing from somebody else. It will never work, ever. Yeah, praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you for this Passover. This Passover is being manifested in us, amongst us, and through us as the Church of Jesus Christ across the world and in the heavenly places. In this Passover, all things are possible through Christ who strengthens us. As Christ strengthens us, this Passover manifests.
Through prayer, we can communicate this Passover into the spheres of influence, O God, that we choose to affect through our prayer. We have the power to affect things in the heavenly places. We have the power to transform realities, O God, that are existent in the world. We have the power within us, O God, the power of the faith of our God that will enable us, O God, to see an entire nation being translated from darkness into your marvelous light. We have the power to see those things manifest, Lord. We are called to exercise that power. We are called to bind the father of lies. We are called to manifest the truth that will set the captives free. So as we celebrate that reality in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, we ask you to bless and sanctify these elements of the bread and wine, that the prophetic that stands behind these elements of the bread and wine will be brought to fruition through a praying church that stands across the world. We pray that you will teach us how to pray, that you will enable us how to pray, so that this Passover will be continuously manifested as the church prays. Bless the church in this country. Bless the church that we will be a blessing to this nation. Bless this nation, O God, through a church that is a blessing, Father. We ask this, we pray this, in Jesus' name. Amen. Your Spirit has ministered to us in different ways. And we thank you, Lord, that you have taken the time to minister to us, Lord. That your word has been released into us in the spirit and life of Jesus. That you have manifested something that you will nurture and bring to fruition in each one of our lives. In the abiding future that we all have, Lord. So we thank you for that assurance that is alive in us. We thank you that we are your chosen instruments, and we pray that we will actually realize that reality of being your chosen instruments. We want to thank you with gratitude for the work of the Holy Spirit. We want to thank you with gratitude for the finished work of the cross. We want to thank you with gratitude that you have declared that our lives are to be manifested as we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We thank you for all that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand. And now may the blessings of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come upon you, remain in you, grow in you. May you truly arise to walk in newness and abundance of life. May you know the heart of your God, and may you come to know the sanctuaries of his name, so that you will truly be a blessing wherever you go. So arise, brethren, go forth. Do not fear, go forth with courage and occupy the land. Go forth and pray the goodness of the Lord your God into your spheres of influence, that you will see the goodness of the Lord your God manifest. And as you see the goodness of the Lord your God manifest, you will understand that in praying and speaking good things, you have destroyed the works of the devil. So go forth, be blessed, and always be a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.